You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
President Biden, President of the United States, please save us our families, please save us our lives. We don't know what to do there. Please help us, please help our families. We don't know, we are in danger. It is many days that we are outside the HKIA and we didn't get access. What should we do? Please save us.
What should we do? Please save us. This is August 31st, 2021. Those are pleas of Afghan women on the run from the Taliban. Now, we cannot take everyone out of Afghanistan, and many we don't want to take out because they are actually Taliban fighters, terrorists of one type or another. They may be linked to the other groups that are sympathetic to the Taliban, or they might actually be ISIS, which is not acceptable to the Taliban, and the Taliban's not acceptable to them. Taliban and Al-Qaeda are closely linked. ISIS is opposing. They want to control instead of letting the Taliban and ISIS control. So there's going to be a lot of internal feuding, and we cannot go be the policeman for everybody in the rest of the world going forward. But those women and their cries, you can understand their cries because they've already seen and heard reports of what's going on in their country. I mentioned the other day, and they may well be, they are their spouses or brothers were helping us while we were in Afghanistan. And we did not help get them out. And anyone the Taliban can identify or just assume and simply state, well, you helped the Americans. That's it. There's no recourse. There's no judge. There's no jury. It's summary judgment on the spot with a bullet in the head or a blade across the neck. We have no idea how many of those we left behind. We don't even know how many Americans are left behind. Now, the State Department is trying to indicate, oh, we know it's maybe 200, 250. If it's 200 or 250, that's 200, 250 more than should be. If it's one, it's one too many. But I will guarantee you the numbers are higher than what we're being told. Let me read something to you where you're getting a contradictory rate from the White House and the Pentagon. The Pentagon. Now, President Biden is due to speak if he holds to his schedule, who knows? But maybe about 15 minutes before we wrap up today's program. But John Kirby is acknowledging that Americans, quote, were stranded in Afghanistan. That's a Pentagon spokesman acknowledging Americans were stranded. Yet earlier, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said, no, under the term described, those able to escape the Taliban country got out. If they didn't choose to, that was their decision. But this morning on MSNBC Morning Joe, Kirby admitted, I don't know how many are there. I don't know. Does that give you any kind of semblance of belief and confidence in this government? Biden's popularity ratings are dropping like a rock into a river. And he's taken a lot of Democrats down with him, even some good Democrats, Democrats that are fighting to have things done right. They're going to be held accountable. We've got a couple of guests coming up in this hour I want you to hear. And one is going to be John Daniel Davidson, Federalist writer, contributor, political editor. And he said the Biden presidency is already a total disaster, and it is all his fault. We're going to get into that. And John Daniel Davidson, in another piece, raised, we need to be impeaching this president. You do realize, of course, if women like that you just saw were crying out and Trump had pulled out of somewhere, Do you not imagine be wall-to-wall coverage on the state-controlled media? Of course it would be. There are still a lot of questions about vaccinations and restrictions and lockdowns, conflicting information. Have you made your decision yet? Are you going to make it? Are you going to be forced to make it? Dr. Rick Lehman is going to join us later from the U.S. Center for Sports Medicine, because a lot of young athletes, be they grade school, high school, college, they're going to have to make some decisions. We have a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. Let your friends and family know we're on the air right now. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief, and the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
And we're down, we go.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
A new chapter of America's engagement with Afghanistan has begun. It's one in which we will lead with our diplomacy. The military mission is over. A new diplomatic mission has begun. So here's our plan for the days and weeks ahead. First, we built a new team to help lead this new mission. As of today, we've suspended our diplomatic presence in Kabul and transferred our operations to Doha, Qatar, which will soon be formally notified to Congress. Given the uncertain security environment and political situation in Afghanistan, it was the prudent step to take.
Blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. That is Secretary of State Antony Blinken. Those are his opening remarks about what's going to happen now in Afghanistan. I let it run for 39 boring seconds about all what we're going to do now, what we're going to do now. We're going to reshape our next mission to Afghanistan, involves diplomacy. In those 39 seconds, did you hear him mention, riddle me this, did you hear him mention we're going to do everything to get those Americans that are still behind out? Did you hear him mention that one point? Just even hint to it. Did you? Let me help you. No, he did not. Did he mention helping get out Afghan interpreters and their families who helped us, who are now facing execution? Did he mention... Forget it. Forget I even wasted your brain cells with that question and my breath. He did not mention that either. I want all Americans out. I certainly would like to see all of those who were in jeopardy out. But now what we're getting is the NA secretary, the National security secretary to the president, advising, here is what we're going to do now. This is our plan moving forward. We are going to, of course, now we have withdrawn all troops. Yes, yes. The last flight went out. After nearly 20 years of U.S. control, Afghanistan is in full hands of the Taliban, or maybe Al-Qaeda, or both, or ISIS, depending on where that line ends up being drawn. But the last U.S. airplane departed the airport from Kabul, and leaving hundreds, if not thousands, of Americans and Afghan allies stranded. They're stranded. In the next hour, I want to get into more detail of what's going on and from what we're hearing at this point in Afghanistan. I encourage that you make sure you hear the second hour. In fact, if you got friends and family that are not joining us right now, you need to text them and call them and say, you got to listen right now, right now. This is the most important program airing in this market or anywhere else right now. No, it's not an ego thing for me. I'm talking about the importance of the issues and the facts, the way we lay them out. In fact, let me take a moment to stress to you, any success of this program, any success of this program, any good decision and proper decision and proper judgment I show, I owe to God, not to myself. I daily ask him morning and night to continue to guide this program. His hand has been on it from the beginning as it's been shifted around on stations. And I mean that in all sincerity. If some of you are laughing, so be it. I'm not. To me, this job is critical. And in fact, to those who have asked, do you miss TV? The answer is not just no, it's hell no. I enjoy what I'm doing now because I can do it untethered and not restrained. I can speak my mind, and I do, as you well know. And this is another crisis point for our nation. There's never going to be another Rush Limbaugh. Let's make that very clear. And I'm not trying to be a Rush Limbaugh look-alike in any way, nor Paul Harvey, or even Mark Levin. Mark Levin, extremely intelligent man. But I have a great caring concern for what we're doing at this program. I mean, it consumes me. And I had to take off last week, Friday and Saturday, Monday, as I put out on my Facebook page to those who had not seen it, that there was a death in the family that we were still trying to come together for a full memorial service or something. And yes, I took an extra day Thursday. In fact, it was Thursday. I was off, and I'm off, and there's suddenly the story is breaking at that point about what's happening in Afghanistan, and I am not here, and I regret I'm not here. But I am thankful that Crane Durham was here standing in for me, and he did an admirable job under a breaking situation. But going forward here, I'm concerned about what we're going to be doing. I do not want more boots on the ground in Afghanistan. I do not. But I want Americans out of there. And if it involves putting boots on the ground to do it, then that's what we will have to do. And I still want to know, I demand an answer to what happened at Bagram Air Force Base. Who the hell made the decision and told Biden and convinced him, and others apparently went along with it, that we would yield and give up Bagram Air Force Base? And when we did that, we exposed the Taliban that were fighting for us. They had no more air support. Once the word got out across the nation that the U.S. is no longer in Bagram Air Force Base, They knew they were doomed without air strikes and air support. And the other thing about evacuating Americans, why the hell did we shut down Bagram Air Force Base? We're trying to get Americans into a city to go out of an international airport, Karzai. It would have been a lot easier to defend Bagram because we already had troops there and we had our defenses set up. It's been a total cluster. Or as my brother used the term the other day, he was in the Navy. Sorry about that. But no, I'm not. I'm glad for anyone who serves in any capacity. The term comes to mind, FUBAR. FUBAR. Many in the military know that meaning. Many in any kind of military-type service and are paralegals, such as police, you know that meaning, FUBAR. To help some of you out with clarifying it and yet at the same time sanitizing it, FUBAR is effed up beyond repair, beyond all repair. That's where we are right now. And we still have Americans stuck there. Oh, but Blinken, let's go back to the Secretary of State. Secretary of State Blinken, who now knows that what we're going to do is proceed with diplomacy. And it's just beginning. Just listen to this. And I ask you, as you listen, do you again hear him mention Americans still being held hostage? We don't know that they're actually in the hands of Taliban right now. We don't know that, or ISIS or Al-Qaeda. Word will come at some point, pictures, video. But if they're still in Taliban, if they're still in Afghanistan and we're not there, they are in custody at least. They're at least hostages at least in Afghanistan. So listen, just listen. Maybe I missed something. Let's see if Blinken says anything about the Americans.
For the time being, we will use this post in Doha to manage our diplomacy with Afghanistan, including consular affairs, administering humanitarian assistance, and working with allies, partners, and regional and international stakeholders to coordinate our engagement and messaging to the Taliban.
I heard we're going to do everything we can for the Taliban. The Taliban. We're going to counsel with them. We're going to work with them. We're going to do this. We're going to. The Taliban, in effect at this time, you could say represent the Afghan people, but it really doesn't any more than maybe the Republican Party represents all Americans. We know it doesn't, nor the Democrats. But they're just simply accepting the fact that the Taliban, they are in control. Well, that is true. So we're going to be talking only to the Taliban. So I guess all the resistance fighters that are still in Afghanistan and are still trying to do what they can to help us, somewhere along the line, they're going to step out and do something for us. But do they dare? Do they dare? Because at the same time, you have to keep in mind, the moment they step out, they and their family are at risk. And I don't mean just a casual slap on the wrist. I mean off with their heads. I'm going to get into more of what's going on in Taliban or in Afghanistan territory in the next hour. But in addition to Blinken coming out, Secretary of State Blinken, coming out and saying, we're going to recognize that we are going to do everything possible to help the Taliban. And we're concerned about helping. But I didn't hear anything about Americans stranded. I didn't hear anything about Afghan allies stranded. Well, maybe he was leaving those remarks for National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan. Maybe the idea was that when Biden said, or rather not Biden, I don't even know if he's awake for any of this right now. But maybe rather than the statement being made by Blinken, he kind of divided up some of the copy with National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan and said, You're the national security advisor. Maybe you should go on ABC News Good Morning today and talk about what we're going to be doing to help Americans stuck behind the lines and Afghan allies we have abandoned. Let's see if he had anything to say along that line.
It's going to be up to them, and we will wait and see by their actions how we end up responding in terms of the economic and development assistance.
So long-term aid is possible, but this humanitarian aid is going to flow through the Taliban?
It's not going to flow through the Taliban. As you know, George, when we send humanitarian assistance to countries, we do through international institutions like the World Health Organization or the World Food Program. And we do so through non-governmental organizations who, George, are still operating on the ground in Afghanistan as we speak. It will not flow through the government.
And how well does that work in countries where we have done that in the Northern Triangle? When we were sending all that money down to the leaders of the Northern Triangle, Guatemala, Honduras, how many of the poor people got that money? Well, of course, none, because that's why so many were trying to get out. Isn't that what we've been told by the Biden administration? So we expect the Taliban is going to be more like Santa Claus and handing out money and everything to the people? You think? Of course you don't. When we come back, Senator Tom Cotton, Republican of Arkansas. And he said, now we want some answers.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
And he broke his promise to Americans. Now that all troops are out of Afghanistan, it is the time to demand answers, to hold accountable all those officials who created the terrible conditions that we've seen in Afghanistan for the last several weeks. Some of these things are very simple questions to which there are noble answers. What did the military recommend to Joe Biden about Bagram Air Base? Who decided to close Bagram Air Base? What were the arbitrary troop numbers that were capped at the end that led to the closing of Bagram Air Base? There's a lot of very simple but very critical questions to be asked, and the answers are noble. They're sitting on a piece of paper somewhere in the Pentagon and the White House, and it's time for Congress to demand those answers in the weeks ahead.
Yes, it is time. Those are the words of Senator Tom Cotton, Republican of Arkansas. He admitted that in the beginning, as we're trying to move people out, while we want to know some answers, let's get the action done first. Let's do the deed, and that is save Americans and save Afghan allies. The ones, the very ones we made our promise to, shaking their hands, saying, if you will work with us, we will work with you. We will protect you and your family. And then we don't. I don't know how many people have asked me while I've been off the air and visiting with relatives as we were going through this reunion and memorializing a relative who died. How many said, how many of the nations are going to trust us now? My answer is pretty simple. Zero. That's just the nations and the nation's leaders. How about the people of the nations? Zero. And here is something that every time something like this was signed by any group that held it up to be, oh, you know, past Obama leaders, past Obama generals, past CIA directors, past medical, whatever the group was, anytime they signed their name to anything, be it a one-paragraph sentence, as long as it condemned Trump, it got plastered everywhere. Well, I'm willing to bet you have not seen on state-controlled media what I'm going to read to you right now. An open letter calling for Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin and Joint Chief Chair General Mark Milley to resign. This letter published by Flag Officers for the number 4, America, argues that Austin and Milley, neither one did enough to persuade Biden away from a hasty withdrawal from Afghanistan, or should resign in protest if he went ahead despite their pleas to the contrary. Now, among the principal military advisors to the Commander-in-Chief President and other top military officials in a position to recommend against a dangerous withdrawal in the strongest possible terms, if they did everything within their authority to stop the withdrawal and the President did not abide by their recommendations, knowing the disastrous consequences looming, these retired flag officer signers believe the top military advisors should have resigned as a matter of conscience and public statement. It reads, with the credibility of the U.S. in tatters, the letter lamented the consequences of Afghanistan will reverberate for decades, and that is true. And then it comes to this part. Excuse me. Well, first of all, they talk about the death and torture of Afghans has already begun and result in a human tragedy of major proportions. I will spend more time on that with you in the next hour. You don't want to miss the next hour. It adds, in addition to the loss of billions of dollars in our advanced military equipment and supplies, falling into the hands of our enemies is catastrophic. I will also address that. Then it adds, trust in the U.S. is irreparably damaged. Moreover, now our adversaries are emboldened to move against America due to the weakness displayed in Afghanistan. China benefits the most, followed by Russia, Pakistan, Iran, North Korea, and others. Terrorists around the world are energized. They can pass freely into our country through our open border with Mexico and through inadequately vetted Afghan refugees. And it is signed, requesting at the end, everyone responsible for this tragedy needs to resign.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
It's a fact that Ackerman Toyota is improving the local community. Jay Ackerman had a vision, and you can see the Ackerman Toyota dealership created a beautiful showplace at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota, sponsoring the next segment, new or pre-owned. Ackerman Toyota, for life.
Some folks are born made to wave the flag. Ooh, they're red, white, and blue. And when the band plays Hail to the Chief, ooh, they point the cannon at you. Y'all, it ain't me, it ain't me. I ain't no Santa Claus.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
All right, we're back, and we're establishing a communication now with our guest. We're getting him online. We've got him now. And the delay was my fault, because if you don't give Quentin the number, how the hell is he supposed to know who to call? And I don't blame him. Glad to have him back on board. We've had him numerous times before. He just finished a couple of articles. One ran in the Federalist just today, and one ran last week. I want to get into both of them. Our guest is John Daniel Davidson, political editor of The Federalist. Welcome aboard, John.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Well, I'm looking at this latest piece, and I led the public to know the title of it earlier. President Biden his presidency is already a total disaster, and it's all his own fault. Then you go on to say he's not being swept along by the currents of history. He is turning every challenge he faces into crisis and disaster. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, that's right. I think we're going to see more disasters ahead. But consider the last 7 months of the Biden administration. You know, whether it's the border or the coronavirus pandemic or the economy or Afghanistan, at every turn, Biden seems to take a difficult task that a competent administration should be able to meet head on, and turn it into a disaster. And it really began with the border on day one. You know, we had the border more or less under control under the Trump administration, and Biden comes in and changes a raft of Trump-era policies that opens the floodgates and signals to much of the world, not just Mexico and Central America, that if you can get over the Rio Grande, you can stay. And that's exactly what happened. We now have a record numbers of illegal immigration. Corporate press doesn't want to cover it, but it's happening, and it's going to continue to happen.
Well, to that extent also, while we're on that part of that subject, that alone to me, I had been saying for a long time that that is tantamount to opening the door for terrorists, and we've caught numerous from the Middle East coming across our border, posing as, you know, they're brown skin. They can mix in with the Northern Triangle and Mexican people coming across.
That's right. I mean, it continues to be a problem. We don't know who's coming across the border. We have no way really of vetting people in an adequate way because of the sheer volume of people who are coming north. And that's a problem. You know, it feels strange to talk about it when you don't really see it in the corporate press. But they would rather talk about anything else. And this is, you know, this is true of the Biden administration's mishandling of the border. It's also true of their mishandling of the coronavirus pandemic. We have completely confused policies and messages coming from Trump's White House, from his CDC, from Fauci and other administration officials. And people are frustrated by that. We were told, and Biden campaigned on shutting down the virus and getting back to normal. And yet we hear endlessly about mask mandates, school closures, and vaccine mandates.
Well, on top of that, they started doing that just basically when it came down to saying maybe a week ago, I take it back, maybe 3 weeks ago now, that we would do that, that we would start vaccinating the illegals, as if you wonder, well, what have we been doing up until now?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you touch on an important thing about the border as well, circling back to that, is that, you know, we don't have any way of knowing whether or not the people who are coming across the border are COVID positive. Some of them get tested by nonprofits, but CBP and Border Patrol don't have the capacity to test. Neither do they have the capacity or the authority to force these people to quarantine. You know, they're asked to quarantine if they're COVID positive, but there's numerous reports from local law enforcement in South Texas of migrants who have been released from ICE custody who are COVID positive, who are in local restaurants and stores, you know, maskless, you know, just going about their business. And that's the situation that the Biden administration has put us in. It was his policies that invited those people across the border. And it's his policies that are causing confusion with the pandemic. And it was his policies that created a disaster in Afghanistan.
So now we come to Afghanistan. And we've got folks coming across the border on a continuous basis. We're letting them come across the border already. And now we have these people that we supposedly we are going to vet properly, and they want to bring something like 200,000 Afghanistans to our nation. Now, if they are truly asylum seekers, that's a reason to bring them in. I mean, that's what we've heard from the left. All they're asylum seekers, and they come up and claim they're being held by gangs and so forth. I understand that issue, that they want to make that point. But these are true asylum seekers. And we want them to come in if they are properly vetted.
That's right. And we don't have a way of doing that because of the logistics involved in the collapse of Afghanistan and the Taliban takeover. You know, I talked to some immigration judges, and they've explained to me that the normal process for SIV applicants, that special immigration visa applicants, those are the folks who worked as translators and who worked for the Department of Defense and the military in Afghanistan, and you know, they're understandably, they're targets of the Taliban now. And so if possible, we want to get them out. But in order to vet them and make sure that they are not involved with terrorist groups or have criminals among them, we have to verify their identities and then cross-reference those identities with international and domestic terrorist and criminal databases. Now, when you hear reports coming out of places like the U.S. Air Base in Doha, Qatar, you realize there would be no logistical way to do that there, because they have thousands of people that have been coming in for weeks now, every day. They don't have bathroom facilities. They didn't have food and water. They had no air conditioning. There was nowhere for these people, these families, to sleep. How are they running background checks and verifying people's identities and cross-referencing those identities with these databases before these people leave the U.S. airbase and get flown into Washington or other cities in the United States? Well, there was no plan here.
Well, originally we were being given the impression that even before they boarded a plane out of Kabul, there might be biometric checking going on. That wasn't going on. And I doubt it's being done at these other bases where we're flying them into Germany, Qatar. They've already recognized 2 to 3 minimum at each of them that were already on a no-fly list, recognized terrorists, and terrorists. And keep in mind that when the Taliban ran through the country and broke open the jail cells, they let a lot of Al-Qaeda terrorists out.
That's right, Al-Qaeda and ISIS terrorists in the Bosnia.
Yeah, I meant ISIS, state. Yeah. Obviously Al-Qaeda, but ISIS, go ahead.
The Pentagon spokesman confirmed a few days ago that we're talking about thousands of people that were prisoners in those that were prisoners at the Bagram Air Force Base, all of whom were released. And so, you know, we've all seen the images from the Kabul airport.
It bothers me. I'm sorry. I'm going to break in right now and ask you: Does it still make any sense to you that we would simply abandon Bagram Air Force Base so they could go in and break those prisoners out?
No, it doesn't. And this is where, you know, Biden administration officials have shown themselves to be incompetent and to be completely out of their depth. They've admitted that they abandoned Bagram Air Force Base. They didn't think they needed it. And now we see the disaster that's unfolded. So, you know, it's not just Biden who needs to be held responsible for this. It's his Secretary of Defense. It's General Mark Milley. It's all the officials that made these calls that botched the situation so badly.
To that extent, I'm looking at a piece, and I'm sure you've seen it, the letter published by Flag Officers for America, the number 4, that Austin and Milley either did not do enough or persuade Biden enough to withdraw, that he should not hastily withdraw from Afghanistan. And if they were urging him and he denied and ignored them, that they should resign.
Yeah, it's shocking the level of strong arming here. Biden was committed to a political goal, which was to have all U.S. troops out of Afghanistan by the September 11th, 20th anniversary. That was his goal. It didn't have to do with keeping Americans safe, didn't have to do with our strategic national interests. It had to do with being able to say that he did it. It was a political goal. It was a openly political goal. And Americans died because of it. And hundreds of Americans, perhaps more, and thousands of green card holders are now trapped in Afghanistan in what amounts to the largest hostage crisis in American history. So when I say Biden needs to be impeached over this, I mean it.
I agree. And on top of that, I mean, you know, if it had been Trump, they would be rushing into impeachment, and I'd be joining them. I'd be joining them to impeach him if he had been responsible for this. A Morning Consult survey out shows that 48% of voters approve Biden's job performance, 49% disapprove. That's a 7-point drop in the last 2 weeks since Kabul fell in the hands of the Taliban.
It's not surprising because it's impossible to look at these images and square them with the lies and spin that are coming from the administration. It's shameful, and I think Americans are disgusted by it, rightly so. And, you know, that's showing up in the polls. I think it's going to keep showing up, especially as we get stories in the days and weeks to come about Americans who are trapped there, some of whom may be killed or taken prisoner by the Taliban, and Biden trying to spin that.
Thank you very much for your time, John Daniel Davidson. We'll do it again, sir.
All right, thank you.
You bet, thank you. When we continue, another item you don't want to miss.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
My personal choice for Italian food, Cafe Napoli. Now, sometimes I want steak, fish. Hey, try the sea bass. Perfect. Plus a worldwide selection of wines. Cafe Napoli's mission is to serve you only the best. Cafe Napoli sponsors this next segment. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Town and Country, and now the streets of St. Charles. Cafe Napoli.
Is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So apparently before this hour is over, in fact, might be underway right now, the president is addressing the nation. We're kind of watching for it. About our full U.S. military withdrawal from Afghanistan after 20 years. And previewing the president's remarks, Jen Psaki said he wants to express his thanks to the commanders and service members who executed a dangerous mission in Kabul and airlifted more than 124,000 to safety. I'm looking, and I don't have the full script in here in front of me, but I don't see anything where he repeats, we will stay until we get everybody out. And in fact, McKenzie, the Marine Corps General McKenzie, thank God, sir, announced that last U.S. troops stationed at Kabul Airport had left, likely leaving hundreds of Americans behind. General McKenzie, U.S. Marines, said some American citizens who wanted to leave Afghanistan were still in country. Quote, we did not get everybody out that we wanted out. In the next hour, I'm going to tell you what they're likely to face. You don't want to miss it. In the meantime, Joe Biden showed up for the dignified transfer, the range of 13 soldiers, mostly Marines, killed in that Afghanistan bombing. And across the tarmac, one woman was screaming at him, I hope you burn in hell. That was my brother. That's a father of a 20-year-old Lieutenant Corporal Jared Schmitz among those killed. And, of course, one of those killed from the St. Louis area. He said, I hope you don't forget that name. Don't forget the name of the other 12. Take time to learn their stories. And at one point, Schmitz said, Biden bristled, said, I do know their stories. But then as he was talking to the president, Schmitz said, I got weary of him going on and on about his son's, Bo Biden's death in an attempt to sympathize with my family. And while he was talking so much about his son, I was focused on my own son. And then Marine Corporal Lance Riley McCollum's sister noticed that Biden's words didn't comfort her family, especially her brother's wife, who was pregnant with his child, and said, my dad and I did not want to speak to him. You cannot kneel on our flag and pretend you care about our troops. You can't F up as bad as you did and say you're sorry. This did not need to happen. And the sister-in-law was frustrated because it appeared, and I've seen the video, it appeared at one point the president kind of checks his watch. Looks down, check his watch. What do you got, something more? What, is it time for meds? Time for a little lollipop ice cream? You bother to check your watch? You're standing there in the midst of those who have lost their loved ones, their flag-draped coffins coming home for the final time, and you check your watch? That incensed me to no end. I put up at Larry Connors USA Facebook over the day, first of all, thanks to Quentin, since I was not on the air Friday, an event, of course, the bombing at Kabul happened Thursday. I wasn't on the air then because I'd already arranged time off and I couldn't get back in time if I'd wanted to. And Crane Durham filled in, did an excellent job. But then Quentin said, if you want to cut something for YouTube, we'll put it up. We did. I had one remark saying, well, I'm glad to see you just rambling on like you normally do. Means nothing. Maybe someday you'll realize you should retire. You know what? I don't give a damn about that kind of comment. The remarks I put up in the reaction of the suicide bomber in Kabul are available right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. About 5.5 minutes. And they were off the top of the cuff. It wasn't scripted, so it wasn't as clean, as effective as maybe I could have made it. But it was right from my heart, and I know from the hearts of many of you. And I didn't try to hide the anger that we lost these servicemen guarding a air base that we shouldn't have even been there under those conditions. It's available now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Or maybe you want to look at it and add the comments like the other one did. Larry, you're such a loser. You're out of TV. Quit acting like you're doing anything. Just go away. Well, I'm not going away. And in fact, in the next hour, I've got a lot more to tell you about what's happening in Afghanistan from the reports coming out. It is not going to be pretty. I'm not going to show you some of the video I've seen, but I'll tell you about it. Let your friends and neighbors know we're on the air. I appreciate it. Do not miss our second hour. And yes, Biden broke his promise to get every American out before we left.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.